Last week, we heard from the Gospel of Luke about the fiery preaching of John the Baptist and the baptism of Jesus of Nazareth. We continue with Luke's storytelling today as Jesus returns to his hometown and preaches in the synagogue with some very surprising results. Let us open our ears, our minds, our imaginations, and hearts as we listen across time and space to hear the good news in this story. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue as he normally did and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. God has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." Everyone was raving about Jesus. So impressed were they by the gracious words flowing from his lips. They said, "This is Joseph's son, isn't it?" Then Jesus said to them, "Undoubtedly, you will quote this saying to me, 'Doctor, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum.'" He said, "I assure you that no prophet is welcome in the prophet's hometown. And I can assure you that there were many widows in Israel during Elijah's time, when it didn't rain for 3.5 years, and there was a great food shortage in the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to a widow in the city of Zarephath, in the region of Sidon. There were also many persons with skin diseases in Israel during the time of the prophet of Elisha, but none of them were cleansed. Instead, Naaman the Syrian was cleansed." When they heard this, everyone in the synagogue was filled with anger. They rose up and ran him out of town. They led him to the crest of the hill on which their town had been built, so that they could throw him off the cliff. But he passed through the crowd and went on his way. For the good news of Jesus Christ.
We're grateful today to have a wonderful preacher who's been with us twice before, in October of 22 and July of 23. I've gotten to know Carrington through the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization. And I called him earlier this week and I said, "We're going to serve Common Cathedral this week. Do you think anyone can come and talk with us?" I was talking with him on Tuesday, I think, and he was down in D.C. And I said, "You know, it'd be perfect to have you, because you can open up the scripture for us." And he said, "I'd be happy to do that for you. I love Luke 4. And I said, "Would you?" So he agreed, and he came, and he's here today. And so would you please give a warm welcome to the Reverend Carrington Moore from Common Cathedral.
Amen. It's a privilege and an honor to be with you all today. I apologize for my tardiness. We deeply apologize. I was grateful to be with Bethel AME Church in Temple Israel, as we have our joint service every MLK Sunday. And so that went a little bit longer than we anticipated. But I want to say I was somewhat grateful that I was late, because when I walked into the space, I saw young people coloring. When I walked in the space, we were passing the peace. And then I was listening to the music. I believe the song said, "Draw the circle wider." And as you all, with the young people, began to pray for the lunches that will be eaten by our beloved community at Common Cathedral, tears could not hold itself in my eyes. So thank you all for your time. I want to thank God for Pastor Kent and Pastor Amy for the warm invitation, and for you all for all the ways that you have supported Common Cathedral over the decades. I want to reread the scripture for us today. I'm going to read it from the Carrington George Moore International Version. And it reads on this wise: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed me to preach good news to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, or the year of reparation, or the year of jubilee." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Family, let us pray. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you. Amen. Jackie, about a year ago, she said, as we were talking, Jackie, in her mid-50s, has been unhoused for over a decade, living on the church grounds of places that would not call the cops on her for trespassing or loitering. Jackie lived outside of beautiful churches like this for over a decade. Every night, Jackie would sleep on the sacred steps, waiting for morning time to come where parishioners, if they were generous enough, would walk past the church, hoping that she might get a little bit of money that morning so that she can go and get breakfast. I remember talking to Jackie one day at Common Art. We got to the question of how her housing application was going. She looked me square in the face and said, "Reverend Carrington, please, this city ain't gonna give somebody like me housing." In that moment, I thought to myself, we have gotten to a place in this country where people feel that they don't deserve housing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because God has anointed us to preach good news to the unhoused. Jamie, all of 23, had been unhoused for the past 4 years. Jamie possessed all of the curiosity and excitement of someone in their early 20s. Jamie participated in all of our programs. She was a champion. She is a champion of City Reach, gladly giving tours to young people, some not much younger than herself. Every month, she gives tours telling people about what it means to be unhoused in their early 20s. Most recently, Jamie was blessed with the miracle of a newborn baby. Jamie, having little to support and being unhoused while she was pregnant, they couldn't find real proper housing for her, so they put her in an emergency shelter. And Jamie has little support, and the only company that she has is the little critters that crawl on the floor where her baby crawls. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us because God has anointed us to preach good news to mothers who are unhoused. What is, family, the good news? On this MLK Sunday, as we celebrate a good man who was murdered by the corruption of white supremacy, a force that degraded the hearts of people then and corrupts and poisons the hearts of people now, we must ask the question, how can God have such good news for such dire, such depressing, such bad situations? So what makes the good news the good news? Family, very simply, the anointing. The anointing of God. I share with you not to make you feel good, not to feed your own ego, not to birth in you some superficial savior that will birth in you some type of complex that pushes you to do a good deed here or there. But the anointing of God is that it has befallen upon us today as a gift, as a calling, as a responsibility. Even our own Savior, Jesus the Christ, as divine as he was, needed the anointing of God. The anointing is simply this, family. The anointing is simply the presence of God. Family, Jesus, in all of his goodness and righteousness, and all of his miracle-working power, like Jamie, Like Jackie, Jesus was unhoused. Every Sunday when you all go, when you go this Sunday to participate and have communion with us and to sing songs with us and to participate in fellowship and to eat with us, you will more than likely hear our own senior associate pastor, Reverend Lisa, say, "To our unhoused Savior we pray, amen." And Jesus, I know we're getting over Epiphany. It's been over for about 2 weeks now, but I want to bring us back to that moment where Mary, the mother of Jesus, was not hanging out giving birth in the four seasons. She was not giving birth in the beautiful spaces of Newton or Brookline, but Mary found herself unhoused in a lowly barn where her company was urine and feces, and she gave birth to the Savior of the world. Jesus within himself was unhoused. But not only that, Jesus got a ragtag group of young college or community college or high school dropouts that he called disciples. They followed him wherever he went. He said to them at one moment, he says, "Foxes have holes, but birds have nests, but the Son of God has nowhere to lay his head." Jesus was unhoused. And I want to submit to you this day that if we were to see Jesus today, we probably wouldn't notice him. If divinity was walking before us today, we'd probably walk right past him because we often don't have an affinity. We don't often have the eyes, the heart, the empathy to see the unhoused. But our beautiful walls, our plush stained glass windows, our wonderful endowments that support our denominations across the world more than likely would have shut Jesus out of them. The good, the bad, and the anointed. What makes you the perfect candidate to do the work of Jesus today is not because you're good looking. Many of you are very good looking. Amen. It's not because of the school that you went to, whether it be Harvard or Yale, whether it be Brown or BU or Boston College, whatever college you left at. It's not that. It's not your social connections, but because you simply follow a Savior who was unhoused. And I want to push you really quickly because Pastor Kent and Pastor Emmy said, "You got 7 minutes and then sit down." Family, the first point is that Jesus needed the anointing. Family, often throughout Jesus' life, Jesus had moments where Jesus didn't want to do the will of God, the Creator. His Father God, his Mother God was often pushing Jesus to do things that were quite difficult. There was a moment where Jesus, believing that he had to fulfill his mission of dying on the old rugged cross to be lynched by white Roman supremacy, but that is not what he wanted to do. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, Pastor Kent. He said to God, the Creator, he said, "Lord, if there's a way, if there's another way, please let this cup pass away from me." Like Martin King, that great day in Mason Temple, he said, I desire to live a good life, to grow old, to see my children's children. But in that moment, Jesus said to God the Creator, "Not my will, but your will be done." Part of possessing the anointing of God is being responsible to live up to the calling of God. And the calling of God, I want to submit to you, it's difficult. It's challenging. It makes us feel awkward because we're called to places that are beyond the status quo. We're called to give up sometimes, oftentimes, the creature comforts of capitalism, to give it away to those who don't have. Can I tell you a quick story? I grew up Pentecostal. I was a part of a group called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and they believed in the, we might call, the fruits of the Spirit, and one of that was they believed in the gift of prophecy. There was a young prophet who came to my undergrad. We were excited. He would literally, to explain it to you, he would really speak words of affirmation into your life. And when I was about 20 years of age, can I tell you what he told me? He called me up to the altar. He put his hand on my head. He prayed for me. And this is what he said. He said, "Carrington," he said, "God wants to make you rich." I said, "Praise God." That's a wonderful prophecy. I received that. I was ready to walk back to my seat. He said, "Carrington, come back up." I said, "I'm not done." He said, "God wants to make you rich, so you can give it all away. I said, whoa, that's not the prophecy that I wanted. There's a prophecy for your church today, Pastor Kent. Can I tell you what it is? God wants to make you rich. As I metaphorically lay hands on all of you today, God wants to make you rich. The end of the prophecy is this, so that you can give it all away. The responsibility of the anointing is to answer the call of God. Last but not least, the responsibility of possessing the anointing of God is simply this. We can't be afraid to do what is right. We are coming into a new moment in our society where we will bless and ritualize, and we will anoint our next president of these United States. And I don't know your political affiliation, don't tell me, it's all good. But I want you to know that in this moment, there's something that we might call privatization that will come upon this country more than ever, where people will be competing for the same dollars, the same grants, the same funds, and trickle-down economics does not work very well for the unhoused. And I want to submit to you in this moment, not to make you afraid or not to make you scared, but Common Cathedral and many unhoused churches will struggle in this season. There'll be less government grants. The pockets of the elite, they will flourish, but we'll have less. And so our calling in this moment is that everything we have, to give it all away. Now, some of you all might not remember this sermon. You might remember some of the jokes. You might remember this nice, handsome African-American man with a nice suit on who came and graced us and said, oh, I like that guy. But if you don't remember anything about this moment, remember, like Jesus, you are called to give it all away. Very seldom do I get a chance to experience the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Often it's at Common Cathedral. But in this moment, when I came today, your children were playing, laying hands on lunches, feeding people they will never see, maybe never touch, but doing the work of giving what they have away. That is the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Last point here. We call that we have a responsibility to give it all away. We have a responsibility not to be afraid. We have a responsibility to do what is courageous. Reinhold Niebuhr often says something. He says, often we have to be overcome with the sublime madness of the soul. It's a madness of the soul that can't be contained. It's a madness that calls us to do things that we might not always do. It's a madness that calls us to forsake the status quo. I want to push you this morning as you think about what is next for this church. What is next for your calling? As we think about what Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach good news to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to declare the year of reparation, to declare the year of jubilee. Because when we say good news, family, I want to submit to you that crowds might not always like it. Often the greatest teacher in the biblical text is not always the prophets, it's often the crowd. The crowd, they didn't like what they heard, that Naaman was the one who was here, this beautiful Syrian man. And they pushed him to the edge because what he said, it broke the status quo. It was indeed offensive. And I want to submit to you, when you offend the crowd, it's all good. When the crowd seeks to hurt or diminish your name like Jesus, God will provide a way of escape and you'll walk right through it. Family, I have nothing more to say except this. The Spirit of God is upon you. And don't take that lightly. To possess the Spirit of God is to possess the same power that created and crafted the universe. The same God that flung the stars in the sky. The same God that breathed breath over all of the earth and the earth began to be created. The same God that breathed into your mother's womb, that pushed you out into the universe. That same God is living inside of you. That's the Spirit of God. Same Spirit that was able to raise Jesus from the dead. That's the same Spirit that lives inside of you. I'll end with a quote from Dr. King. Dr. King, dying at the young age of 39, meeting an assassin's bullet in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm 38. Growing up culturally, we call out numbers because they have significance. The first number in my community that's really powerful is the number 23. Anybody know why? That's your Jordan year. Michael Jordan, 23. There you go. You're like, oh, what is that? Yeah, that's a big year. 33 is another big year. Why? What's 33? Yes, our Jesus year. I'm 38. Next year will be my Martin year, 39. I don't know who's over 39. Don't raise your hand. We're all young here. But could you imagine literally changing the scope of all of American history at the tender age of 39 for it to be taken away so quickly? But I believe that Martin King, as I close, he was invested in the long game. I'll end on this quote. Martin King says this, "I've seen the power of God transforming the fatigue of despair into the buoyancy of hope. I am convinced that in the struggle for righteousness, the universe, it bends towards justice." This prophecy is real. I speak it over your life. God wants to make you rich so that you can give it all of it. Every single penny, every single gift, every single talent. God is making you rich so you can give it all away. It's the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.